1290 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. A former Democratic politician from the Las Vegas area will spend life in prison. Robert Tellis was sentenced hours after he was found guilty today for the murder of a journalist who wrote stories critical of his conduct in office. Clark County District Attorney Steve Wilson.
In any attempts to silence the media or to silence or intimidate a journalist will not be tolerated. That's what occurred in this case.
Tellis claimed he was framed by a number of people. The hottest weather of the season has moved from the Midwest into the Northeast. The Hamas-run Palestinian Health Ministry says at least 11 people were killed in the IDF's biggest raid on the occupied West Bank in years. A police officer from Washington, D.C. was shot when the suspect's gun went off as officers were trying to recover the weapon from a storm drain. This is ABC News. United Airlines flight attendants have voted to authorize a strike. The Association of Flight Attendants, CWA, says workers are seeking double-digit pay increases, schedule flexibility, and work rule improvements. The union could now request a 30-day cooling-off period. A new report in the Journal of the American Medical Association suggests that a lot of women could benefit from additional breast cancer screenings.
More than half of all women over the age of 40 have been told when they get their mammogram results back they have dense breasts. It's a term to describe when someone has more fibroglandular tissue than fatty tissue in their breasts. Dense breast tissue shows up as white on a mammogram, the same color as cancer, making it harder to detect. New studies suggest that those women might benefit from an MRI or an ultrasound in addition to getting their regular mammogram.
ABC's Sherry Preston. Stocks closed lower today. The Dow, the Nasdaq, and the S&P. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
When you think about Labor Day and what it means, do you think about Wisconsin? You should, but let's go back to explain. In the mid-1800s, activists pushed for a day to recognize workers' contributions. President Grover Cleveland signed a law in 1894 making the first Monday of every September a national holiday. So where did the first labor union form in Wisconsin? Wausau? Green Bay? Milwaukee? The answer coming up. The Badger State has an impressive history. Bricklayers and carpenters formed unions in the 1840s and were the first to push for workers' compensation and unemployment insurance. Now, did you guess? This all happened first in Milwaukee. The state's labor unions formed in 1847. The National Labor Union didn't form until 1866, 19 years later. Leading the way for other states is this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.FM.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Joe Biden is coming back to the Badger State. He'll be here next Thursday, although details haven't been announced yet. He'll focus on the economy and his administration's record working for middle-class Americans. This will be his first visit to Wisconsin since stepping down from the race and endorsing his vice president, Kamala Harris. And it's a long-term problem for Wisconsin public schools. Enrollment is dropping. It's been happening for years now. Education leaders are quick to point out that when enrollment drops, costs per student actually go up. Luther Olson is the statewide network liaison for the CESA Education Agency.
We fund on a per capita basis, but in reality, that cost goes up. So everybody says, well, you know, you have less kids, you don't need as much money. But unfortunately, that's not quite the case.
Work on the next state budget begins in the spring. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers lose in a battle of home runs. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports. Milwaukee hit two home runs, but the San Francisco Giants hit three of their own to win 5-4 on Tuesday night, including the go-ahead shot by Mike Yastrzemski. Manager Pat Murphy says it was a hot night at AmFam Field.
I think guys were a little warm and sweating profusely, but I think both teams did a nice job. I thought it was a fairly well-played game, and I thought I love the way we competed.
Milwaukee was leading the NL Central by 12 games a week ago, but after losing four of the last six, the Brewers' lead is down to 9 in front of the Chicago Cubs. The second of 3 games in the series against the Giants is tonight in Milwaukee. The Packers trimmed their roster down to 53 players on Tuesday. Green Bay placed running back A.J. Dillon on injured reserve in one of the moves. The Packers also kept kicker Greg Joseph over Anders Carlson, a 6th-round draft pick last year. For Civic Media Sports, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy, warmer, and a little muggy tonight with lows in the upper 50s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy and humid, scattered showers and thunderstorms developing in the evening. Some could be strong, highs upper 70s to 80. Storms possible Friday, then beautiful for Labor Day weekend. Currently at 64 degrees.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Fancy Brian Kelly is my guest co-host for the first hour, and then we're joined by Paul Noonan talking sports, weather, and wine with meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, any cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake and I'm at the fair. Hey, we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. And this portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we're starting out with Ho-Chunk Day here at the Minnesota State Fair, and on Native Roots Radio, we have Arvina Martin, Executive Director of Emerge Wisconsin. Really good to see you, and it's been a while, and I missed you at the DNC. Ho-wa.
Yeah, I found our, and I got your texts. My whole phone was blowing up the entire time I was there. I didn't get all my messages on time just because. And just all kinds of messages.
Well, it was a good DNC to have messages, I'll tell you that. And I was there for the first 2 days, or Monday and Tuesday, I should say. And I am ready to work, and I'm excited. And I know a lot of people were, and that energy was, I hate to be a cliche, but it was electric. It really was.
Yeah, I have been having a hard time trying to come up with adjectives to describe what I experienced and everything that was happening there, without using all the same words that everybody else is using, like exuberance and joy and, you know, excitement. You know, it was really all of those things. I had an incredible time. I feel like I learned a lot as well. Tried to go to training sessions that were happening. Went to the Native American Caucus, which this is the first time that the DNC has had a Native American Caucus. It was, I believe, a working group or something else. It wasn't an official caucus because there weren't enough Native members, but now there are. And so I got to participate in that, and it was outstanding. We got addressed by your governor, who I'm still mad that y'all had been keeping him secret for so long. but I had my reaction to him speaking at the Native American Caucus at the DNC was that he put forth the most specifics and spoke so authentically in a way that I've never heard another non-Native elected leader speak on Native issues before. And that was remarkable to me. That would be one of the things that made me teary that first day. I was keeping track of how many times I cried just being moved. but had to stop the count after Monday because it was already up to four. I'm like, I'm not going to be able to keep track of this stuff.
Well, Arvina, I'm finding out new information about our governor too. I did not know his first teaching job was at, where was it at again, Haley?
Pine Ridge.
Yes. Thank you. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. And then I don't know if you know this, Arvina, when they ran for governor and lieutenant governor, they announced it at the Indian Center, and they announced it as a partnership. And that was amazing because years ago, our lieutenant governor Flanagan was an instructor at Wellstone Project, and he came in to learn how to run for office. And so they've had this teacher-student relationship for many, many years.
Well, and, you know, with his history as a teacher, I'm sure that kind of relationship made him more comfortable, relating to her and everything. And he actually, before he left the Native caucus at the DNC, he said goodbye by saying Chi Miigwech, which made us happy. I found out later that at the AAPI caucus that he spoke in Mandarin. So you've got a polyglot on your hands. He's got all kinds of language, you know, accessible to him. I mean, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, we were buddies, but now that he's big time, I don't know if he'll be picking up the phone soon here. He's a busy man, but Haley and I and Wendy and a friend of Haley's went to the Christmas party at the mansion last year, and of course I got pictures, but you know, it's he's personable. He's got a great memory. He's a great speaker. He told the VP's people that he never used a teleprompter before, and that amazes me because he's such a great speaker. But he's using them now.
Yeah, well, I mean, I imagine being a high school teacher, speaking at the front of the classroom, you've got to have all of your facts straight, because if you get something wrong, those kids are going to roast you, you know? He's already been fact-checked, I'm sure. And, you know, someone be like, oh, no, Mr. Waltz got it wrong, you know, kind of thing. But he's had speeches with stakes before every day in a classroom, I'd say. So I feel like that's got to be a great training for being able to speak in front of a large group and be able to kind of hold your own even if you're not used to it.
Well, what I like is they said, why does he look so old? And he said he did 15 years in lunch duty. And I know I taught for 30 years and I did one trimester and that was enough.
I heard that story. I think it's a pretty great one, and I think it's a story that we all can relate to, having, you know, gone to school and remembering what it was like, or maybe some parents volunteering in a lunchroom. That was not anything I ever volunteered to do, because I knew that lunchroom duty was probably the hardest.
Oh yeah, and thinking back as a student, and you know, myself, I was everyone's tolerance tester, so I guess it would have been payback if I would have been there a little longer.
Yeah, I mean, you never know. You never know how it's going to go.
Exactly. Hey, before we end this first segment, and then I want to talk about it again next segment, there's things happening. You know, we're all over civic media, and of course, the Twin Cities, and Illinois and Michigan, and then everywhere on Facebook Live and YouTube. But there's some things happening in Wisconsin this coming weekend.
Yeah. So as part of the Ho-Chunk, or in conjunction with, but not like an official event, as part of the Ho-Chunk Nation Labor Day powwow, Charisse Davids is going to be there with you and Vice President Daniel DeLong, who are going, and you guys are going to be talking coffee and democracy over at Revolutions in Black River Falls. I'm excited for that. I'm coming up for it. And then that Sunday at the Ho-Chunk Nation District 1 Community Center is going to be a meal with congressional candidate Rebecca Cook. I believe that meal is at 4 p.m., but you can find information posted on that on the Ho-Chunk Nation Legislative Branch Facebook page. But I mean, I'm excited for both of those events. I think it's very telling about Rebecca Cook, but also about the state Democratic Party, that we're putting out, you know, these events in Indian country in order to make sure that Native people are included and know what you need to do in order to cast your ballot and get out there. So, you know, I think I'm really excited to have two events. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely. And I know I'll be there as my real job as a legislator for Ho-Chunk Nation. And Haley will be there covering it with you for Native Roots Radio.
Ooh.
Yeah. That'll be the first time I think Arvina and I will meet in person.
What?
Yeah, over the course of a year. Isn't that pretty wild?
It's only been a year. I feel like it's been longer than that since I've been talking with you guys.
Well, it probably has.
In a good way, of course.
I was going to say, we do that to people. Oh, wow. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break. We're with Arvina Martin and Haley Cherry at the fair. Stay with us.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
It's back to school time, which means getting back to school ready. One important thing to add to your to-do list this year is making sure your child is up to date on their vaccinations. Getting vaccinated will help your family avoid missing out on school, activities, work, family events, and vacation. Keep your family healthy by talking with your health care provider or visiting our free vaccination clinics in Minneapolis. Visit the City of Minneapolis website and search for vaccine clinics. A message from the Minneapolis Health Department.
Hey, it's Robert Pilot from Native Roots Radio here to tell you about the best window contractor in Minnesota, 952 Windows. Here's why I trust them in my home projects. 952 Windows is a part of Loyal Home, founded by former window light workers known for their ethics and quality. It's a top-notch remodeling company that's been flying under the radar for too long. They've even sold to competitors' employees who want top-tier quality for their homes. For the best in windows and doors, have 952 Windows take care of your next project. They offer the longest warranties and were rated ENERGY STAR's most efficient in windows and doors. Believe me, I've known the owner for decades, so I can vouch for their excellence. They're not just about windows either. They're your go-to for roofing, siding, kitchens, bathrooms, and more. Plus, they've got you covered on Onyx Bath and Rosebud cabinets. Trust me, you won't regret giving them a call at 952 Windows or 952windows.com. Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, we're here with Arvina Martin, Executive Director of Emerge Wisconsin, and we were talking a little about the DNC. What does a great week of DNC do for Emerge Wisconsin? I'm sure people are super excited and really ready to jump on.
Yeah, we actually, our national organization had a lot of events that were happening in the Dempalooza area at McCormick Place. I don't know if you made it over there, but we had a couple of sessions where we talked to various leaders. There was a woman in labor event that we had as well. Just a lot, and the opportunity to meet with folks, not just from Wisconsin, but from across the country, and really talk about the work that we're doing. And, you know, it is exciting to have our, you know, Kamala Harris at the top of the ticket. I'm sure I've mentioned it on here before, but just again, our organization Emerge was founded by a group of women that had come together to elect Kamala Harris to San Francisco District Attorney's office. And they realized that there needs to be more women in politics and running for office. And so from that grassroots effort came this larger organization that we now call Emerge. And, you know, we like to kind of joke about her being our first alumna. So, you know, having that connection with her is really cool too. And being able to share the story of the work that we do and how it happens how we're able to like specialize in our own states and, you know, make sure that we have information that is, you know, relevant in Wisconsin that might not be in Texas. You know, they've got a slightly different program, but, you know, it's all the same underlying concepts and trainings, just a little tweaked. And we got to meet a lot of people and talk a lot about the work we do and reconnect with alumna from across the country. I mean, there were so many times I had on a pin that said, ask me about Emerge, and one that said Emerge alum. And I had people stop me and be like, oh, I'm an alum as well. So it was really cool to meet all of these Native women. I'm sorry, not just Native women, although
right.
There were several Native women Emerge grads there, but other graduates of the Emerge program from across the country. It was just, it really, you know, this work can be really tiring and it can take a lot out of you, because especially when you really believe in the candidates or what you're working for, and to have an opportunity like this to refill that cup and put some back into it instead of just taking it out was really great. And I'm hoping that it gets me through. Are we, what, 69 days, 68 days till election?
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. Yeah.
Well, I'm at the fair, so all the days are blurred in here, especially when it was a million degrees. I forgot Haley's name, and the sun was beating on my head.
I had a story I wanted to tell you, too. Yes. On the night that Governor Walz came out, I made sure to wear a pair of earrings that one of my college friends made for me that were beaded and had a center cabochon, and the center, they were all purple and sparkly, and the center cabochon was Prince. So I had to wear that on the day that Governor Walz came out and spoke in his honor. You know, my respect to the folks on the other side of the Mississippi. And I wanted to make sure that I showed my respect properly by wearing some Prince earrings.
Well, right on. And I think Haley is beating some Vikings earrings for you. Oh, wow.
Ooh. I'll have to make some Packer Pocket earrings.
Earring beat off. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
There you go. Well, that's amazing. I don't know, Irina, did I talk to you that even in my job, and I don't talk much about my job here on Native Roots Radio, but when first our vice president was called on to run for president, I felt like even my other job and other things I do, it lifted me, and I feel like better about things. It was really weird, and I didn't know there was a little teeny, I was going to vote blue no matter who, but there was a little teeny gray cloud over my head, and I feel really uplifted since then.
I mean, it's incredible what hope can do. You know, it's part of what refills, you know, that cup for all of us. You know, being able to see something that you believe in and truly believe in it and truly be able to fight for it and to not have, you know, not, and I say this in a way so I don't want people to think that, you know, oh, it's a done deal. No, we're going to have to work our chinches off in order to make sure that this happens. We've got to get everybody out to vote. But, you know, it shows that there's a path forward and that we can put in the work and you know, have things go the way that we want them to, which is exciting. And I think it's that hope that we all have that makes things a little bit brighter and easier to go about our everyday lives, just because I'm not necessarily worried that in a year, if I'm going to be able to have my own bank account as a woman, you know, kind of just things that you think, oh my gosh, this could never happen. It's so Handmaid's Tale, but man, it sometimes seems like they just took a bunch out of Handmaid's Tale to put it straight into Project 2025.
Exactly. So, mm-hmm. Arvina, now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I heard, and I think Haley, you can correct me too, is that Hillary was this far ahead in 2016. So to really amplify what you said about, we still have to work, we can't stay home, we have to still work hard.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, being up in the polls right now is great, but when you take a look at polls, you have to remember that they're just a snapshot of a moment. There is still 2 months of campaign left, and a lot can happen. You know, we don't, it feels like something happens every day that kind of changes the tone. But, you know, the fact of the matter is that it is going to require a lot of work. A lot of people volunteering to either knock doors or to make phone calls or send texts, you know, even less formally, by making sure that your friends and relatives are registered to vote and they actually go out on election day, or, you know, absentee ballots beforehand. You know, those are great things that you can do to help out the campaign without necessarily, you know, being an official volunteer. But, you know, turnout is going to be a big deal. And you, as Democrats, we always know that turnout is always huge. And Donald Trump is talking about, we don't need to do GOTV. We don't need to get out any votes. We have them all. And, you know, we're just going to make sure no one cheats. Well, we're GOTV, get out the vote, is the most important part, and we've got to make sure that we, you know, don't leave any of those votes on the table.
I was on the Devil's Advocate show earlier today, and it was stated that after the vice president, she has over 45,000 helpers in Wisconsin. Did you hear that number?
I had not heard that number, but that is quite an astonishing one, and I believe it. Like, there is excitement here. You know, people when her new position as the top of the ticket was announced, you know, people would be like in the line at the grocery store and saying, oh, I'm so excited. Oh, Kamala's at the top of the ticket now. And I think that, and talking with people that you don't necessarily know. And I know that I've had a lot of friends reach out to me who've never been involved in campaigns, asking about what they can do, how they can get involved, what they can do as an introvert who knocking doors sounds like a, you know, personal hell. You know, there are other things you can do in order to help the campaign that don't involve necessarily talking directly to voters. There's other things that can be done. And, you know, don't be scared of volunteering. The people that, you know, that are in campaign offices are nice folks. They just want to help you get involved in the way that is best for you and fits in your schedule, and are just excited to have more help. You know, the more the merrier.
Arvina, we got a minute or so left. Let's talk about this weekend again one more time. You and Haley talk about the dates and how you can meet Arvina and Haley and me, you listeners out there in civic media and also in the Twin Cities.
Yeah, so on Monday, September 2nd, I believe, which is Labor Day, Sharice Davids, Ho-Chunk Nation and representative to Congress from Kansas, is going to be at, what is it, Revolutions Coffee, to talk with you, Robert, and Vice President Danielle DeLong.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. A former Democratic politician from the Las Vegas area will spend life in prison. Robert Tellis was sentenced hours after he was found guilty today for the murder of a journalist who wrote stories critical of his conduct in office. Clark County District Attorney Steve Wilson.
Any attempts to silence the media or to silence or intimidate a journalist will not be tolerated. That's what occurred in this case.
Tellis claimed he was framed by a number of people. The hottest weather of the season has moved from the Midwest into the Northeast. The Hamas-run Palestinian Health Ministry says at least 11 people were killed in the IDF's biggest raid on the occupied West Bank in years. A police officer from Washington, D.C. was shot when the suspect's gun went off as officers were trying to recover the weapon from a storm drain. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The U.S. Supreme Court has refused to revive President Joe Biden's latest student debt relief program. Under the plan, borrowers could pay back 5% of their income instead of 10%. Lawsuits were filed after the plan was announced. The Supreme Court says some of those suits must be resolved in lower courts. And 15% of students in Wisconsin public schools get special education services. But school districts only get funding for 30% of expenses for their kids with disabilities. Teachers and administrators have long called this unfair. Deputy State School Superintendent Thomas McCarthy.
Reimbursing schools 30 cents on the dollar for an operation they're required to do is impactful in more ways than just serving kids with disabilities. In most districts, what they're doing is they're taking money out of their general budget and they're plowing it into special education budgets.
Work on the next state budget begins in the spring. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, Civic Media News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Sometimes the network can't afford not to bring a show back, such is the case with Ted Lasso on Apple TV. That's right, Lasso fans, the show that helped us all get through COVID might be coming back for another season. Series co-creator Bill Lawrence said in a recent interview that several of the cast members have agreed to return, but there is no word yet on whether or not Jason Sudeikis will come back as the title character. Sudeikis is one of the show's creators as well. Deadline.com reports that they believe Sudeikis is already in, which would only leave one non-committal cast member, Juno Temple. Stay tuned. Disgraced actor Armie Hammer says he is selling his truck because he can no longer afford the gas. Hammer says he loves the truck he treated himself to in 2017 intensely. In an awkward Instagram video Hammer posted, it was hard to decipher if he was talking to his truck or the audience at times as he described his love for his vehicle. He added that his kids will miss the truck, but they are adaptable. I wonder if they've heard the cannibalism accusations. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wamba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy, warmer, and a little muggy tonight with lows in the upper 50s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy and humid, scattered showers and thunderstorms developing in the evening. Some could be strong, highs upper 70s to 80. Storms possible Friday, then beautiful for Labor Day weekend. Currently at 62 degrees.
I thought I had to quit opioids all on my own, but my doctor set me straight. They told me opioid use disorder is a chronic health condition, just like heart disease or diabetes, that you don't manage with willpower alone. So now I take medications that work to curb the cravings and, when combined with therapy, help me manage my health. I've learned that opioid recovery is possible with courage, support, and meds. Find out how medications can help you too at doseofrealitywi.gov.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511wi.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511wi.gov. That's 511wi.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Travel Wisconsin's Logan Rogge, and director Sean Hannish joins the show to talk about his documentary, Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights 7 till 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, we have some young warriors on here, Haley. Let's get a quick shout out here to who we have on today.
Yeah, we're joined by Eileen Bass, who is the Little Earth Residents Association teen recovery coach, and she's joined by some of her students here. This is the Youth Wellbriety cohort here in Minneapolis. Eileen, thanks so much for joining us this evening.
Hi, thanks. Good to see you. Good to see you, Robert and Haley.
Yeah, haven't seen you in a long time.
Yeah.
You got that cool jacket. That's so cool. Good to see you. And tell us about what these guys are doing here, and tell us a little bit about your program. Good to see you guys. Give me a big ahoo-wah.
Ahoo-wah.
Thank you, Pina Gigi.
Yeah, so I'm a teen recovery coach, and so here at Little Earth, there's the Hennepin County and young people in recovery involved in like a cohort at routine recovery at Little Earth, but this specific group is made up of interns, and so they're part of a different internship, but you guys might be able to explain a little better than I can. But basically, they've been part of the Wellbriety trainings and just different like teachings involved with like cultural recovery and traditional knowledge and methods. And so I'm really glad that they're able to join me today.
Do you guys right want to on. Introduce yourself in a good way there, young warrior. Ho-wa.
I'm Chiron.
That was good. Yeah. What's your name, young fella?
Ethan.
Wait. This is.
I think I heard this, Ethan.
Oh, did you? Oh, cool. Okay.
This is Mina, and they're actually brother and sister. And over here we
right
have.
Right on.
I'm Todd.
Hey, welcome.
I'm Ace.
Hey, cool name. Let's talk about this program a little bit. Where are you? We have people from all over Turtle Island listening to us. Tell us a little bit about where you are and where Little Earth is in the Twin Cities, and a little history about what you're doing.
Little Earth is a couple blocks south from Franklin.
Yep, along Cedar Avenue. It's a 212-unit housing complex, and as of I think the 2010s, it's become a Section 8 housing assistance rental program. So basically everyone here's there are a lot of Native families. There's like 39 or so tribes that are represented, and these kids make up a lot of the Youth Development Center's programming, and they're present. They're here all the time, pretty much.
Right on. Hey, could one of you guys tell us a little bit about what Wellbriety is to our listening audience? Yeah, any one of you.
Quiet.
I bet you they're not usually this quiet when they're out running around here. Tell us what Wellbriety is. And remember, it's a radio show, so you have to speak. Oh, wow.
It's a youth program for the, what's it again? It's recovery?
Yeah.
For recovery. And its main members include everyone that you just met. I forgot to introduce myself. You want me to do it just regular or just in a fancy way?
In a fancy way, young warrior. Ho-wa.
Mendakiyapi, Ethan, Amachinapi, Naha, Yuhan, Chante, Washte, Champe, Chayusepe. I kind of messed it up a little bit there, but it means, hi, my name's Ethan. I shake your hand with a good heart, even though we're calling.
Right on. Well, it warms my heart when I hear young ones speaking their language. So good one there. And I appreciate you doing that. There's a lot of things happening around you when you're young like this. And how does this group really and this organization really help you stay focused in a good way?
What keeps us going is our supervisor here, Eileen. She teaches us all that we know here, and that's why we're in this interview right now. And we pretty much try to help others. Maybe we promote this group by putting out flyers, maybe telling people, and they join the internship. We have a lot of people on our internship. Not all of them are here, but we have a lot. We used to have like two more, but they're not here. They're never here.
Cool. Well, how do you feel? Does it make you feel closer to the community? Do you feel safer having more than one or two people around you in a good way? Because there's a lot of things out there that, you know, can sway us in a wrong way. And what you're working on sounds like a really good thing to keep focused on what you're doing and who you are.
Do I feel good in a good way around everybody here? 50-50.
Yeah. There's our humor.
That's not his line, that's my line.
Yeah. Yeah. If people on the radio that didn't see that, he looked around and he said, I felt 50-50. Oh, good, honest engine there. Hey, yeah. Right on. Yeah. So what else? Tell us some more, you know?
They did tell us to mention our podcast that we did last year. It was a different internship than what we had here, but it was a podcast that we did. It's for Red Nation, and we pretty much were talking about the history of Low Earth, and it kind of helped us it helped us like learn more, like be prepared for this internship, since it has a lot of stuff to do like around this community.
So. Yeah. Can you tell us a little history? Do you know that? Did you work on that podcast? Could you tell our listening audience a little bit about Little Earth and how it got started?
It first started as like it's been a long time since I've been with that podcast group, but here it wasn't a community like a big one, but it was very small. It was over by South High, which is over on Cedar. So it was, and then this, I think this one woman, I forgot her name, she like started like a movement, and that kind of built up like the community at what we have today, like housing homes and townhomes and all that. And actually in 1973, if I'm correct, they like had a competition of like what the name would be. That used to be the side, what was it called?
South High Housing Project.
Yeah, the South High Housing Project. So they wanted to have it like an actual name. So they kind of like had a little competition in 1973, which was like one person had the name, which was the United Tribes, and another one, which was Low. And they kind of, instead of like fighting to figure out which one gets it, they kind of put it together of Low Earth of United Tribes. That pretty much made the. Actually, we have a bridge over there that has the entire name. Like one side's Lowell and the other side's Earth, and I'm pretty sure the other side has United Tribes. If I'm wrong, it's the best community, but it's still a community.
Right on. Well, let me just say this: as being an elder here in the community, how important it is for me to see you guys do what you're doing. And it really warms my heart, and I'm glad you're on this show, talking and speaking in a good way too. So I'm a little emotional right now because you guys are the future, and I really, really appreciate your words today.
Yeah, I guess you can say they're the future.
Thank you. Definitely the next generation. I'm proud of everybody in this cohort. I'm proud of you guys for being here.
Yeah, we heard that.
Swing me, Tyler. The one that's barely at work?
How long does a cohort like this usually go? Is this like a school year thing? Is it an all year round thing?
It's mostly a summer thing.
Yeah.
But here, our internship's ending towards like the start of school. We did have an internship that led to the school year. Like we had it during the school year and it ended in December. And I think in starting in June, we had this internship.
But this specific Well Variety cohort, it started with the talking circles and then it started with the life skills curriculum that was given to me by young people in recovery. And so that's when I had variety into their weekly like sessions. And so that started in February. And so for February through March, April, May, they were involved with some projects like creating the logo for Well Variety for for the band that's outside. And they also entered that into the competition for the bands that were going to be like part of the float design.
Oh, for the parade on May 1st. Yeah.
That's awesome. Hey, before we let you go, let us know how, I always want to do a plan of action. How can people get a hold of you? And how can we find out more about your group?
If you go to Little Earth, we have this like Boys and Girls Club. It's like towards like a park, and we mainly have, and the other side's toward like Lyra, which is pretty much where we have all our, you know, not really all of our talking circles, but that's mainly where all the magic happens, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Here, I know I'm like kind of, you know, making fun of everybody else saying like all these things, but here, everybody has like their own thing. They, even if it means them not coming to work every day, them not listening, they still influence other little ones. And pretty much, like you guys are, since you guys are the next generation, you guys influence others and they look up to us. So we want to put on a good influence on them. That's what I'm doing.
I said I'm not a good influence. Well, I said I'm not a good influence.
I mean, everybody does their own things. And I feel like we shouldn't judge people, even when we think that, oh, they're wrong, I'm right. It's just everybody does their own things, and I feel like we should learn more about this group. Helps us learn more about how to like do stuff better, and it helped me a lot. You know, I've learned a lot, done a lot of good things, done stuff in a good way. I'm trying to teach everybody here how to do stuff in a good way, even though they don't really appreciate it as much.
They will. Hey, I appreciate you all being on the show. Let's do this again. This is Native Roots Radio, and a big see you later. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's back to school time, which means getting back to school ready. One important thing to add to your to-do list this year is making sure your child is up to date on their vaccinations. Getting vaccinated will help your family avoid missing out on school, activities, work, family events, and vacation. Keep your family healthy by talking with your health care provider or visiting our free vaccination clinics in Minneapolis. Visit the City of Minneapolis website and search for vaccine clinics. A message from the Minneapolis Health Department.
It's an absolute must for any true foodie. Vinaigrette at 50th and Xerxes in South Minneapolis offers premium oils and vinegars for the most discriminating of tastes. This is Sarah Piepenberg, owner of Vinaigrette. We bottle on-site, there's no guesswork, and you get to taste test each and every oil and vinegar we offer. Our direct relationship with the growers ensures an uncompromised level of satisfaction. When you need to know you're cooking with the finest ingredients, first contact the independently owned Vinaigrette, 50th and Xerxes in South Minneapolis. Online at vinaigrettemn.com.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is often laced into illicit drugs and used to make fake versions of prescription pills. You can't see it, taste it, or smell it. Suppliers mix fentanyl into their products because it's potent and cheap, and the dealer might not even know. Keep yourself and others safe by knowing the real deal on fentanyl. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Chuck Manette, owner of Native Concrete and Masonry.
Whether it's cracks in your existing sidewalks, steps, chimney restoration, or a whole new project, you can trust our team to ensure satisfaction through detailed planning and precision. Native Concrete and Masonry is a Native American-owned business, and we have worked with our clients throughout the Twin Cities metro area. We work closely with our clients to accomplish our initiatives. Learn more at nativeconcretemasonry.com.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
How?
Oh. Hey, we got you back on. Now that the young ones are checking it out. So do you want to tell a little bit about your program again? And we'll let you go, but we really appreciate you stopping by with those young warriors.
Hi, I'm so sorry. Could you repeat that, guys?
Just tell us a little bit about your program, and then we'll let you go.
So the Well Variety for Youth cohort is basically, the Well Variety comes from the White Bison trainings, and so I know those were made popular, and they're like a response to the Native cultural needs for recovery in the community. And so I think that, yeah, you guys can come, but I think that basically what I'm taking is like traditional teachings, even if they're from the Red Road to Well Variety, I'm kind of adapting them for youth and making sure that kids know about the four medicines and the, you know, the medicine wheel, and making sure that they understand like purpose and like what they do has like an effect on other people. They're always part of a family, a community, and like beyond that, a larger nation. And so really connecting them with the individual family, community, and nation is something that I think that these guys are pretty comfortable with. And you guys, yeah. What else would you guys add?
All right.
Sorry, <Stryker. laughs>
Well, we wanted to say a big thank you for being on and explaining that. And always good to see you and your young warriors in the community. That's a big deal.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you guys so much for the opportunity. And I hope these guys can stick around. They'll be here for other programming and stuff like that. But I'm really proud that everybody was a part of the cohort that can make it.
Thank you. And thank you for coming on and explaining this. It's always good to see the young ones doing good work. And you're a big part of that. Thank you, Ms. Bass.
Yeah, thank you, Robert. Thank you, Haley.
Got any more questions?
Aww. Wow, that was cool.
Yeah. Little Earth is such a big community. And, you know, we talk about Minneapolis and kind of that holding space to be the largest urban Native American community in the country, really. And I think, I don't know, I don't want to give the wrong number, but there's over, I think, like 500 tribes recognized in the Twin Cities alone or in Minnesota alone, or just people living there.
What I heard was there's 150 tribes that are going through a Minneapolis public school, and there's 78,000 urban Indians in the Twin Cities, which blows my mind. But I believe that too when I go to these big happenings and see all our Native relatives. I don't think we're all counted like we should be.
Right. Yeah. So we do have a lot of representation when it comes from, you know, different federally recognized tribes living in the Twin Cities. And yeah, I think that makes up, you know, the name Little Earth of United Tribes right there.
Yeah, that's cool. What he was saying, too, is the name was on both sides, and then he was naming three sides. And I thought, I don't remember that bridge having three sides. Did you catch that?
No, I didn't. But I think I knew what bridge he was talking about.
Yeah, I did, too. That was cool. Well, these, you know, in Native Roots Radio, we're all about amplifying the good work that happens. And our guest, our pleasure, her students, having them on is our pleasure. And who knows, someday it may spark one of them. I know they were talking about that they did some spots and did some podcasts. It might inspire them to take at least my job.
Yeah, be the next Native Roots radio host or something like that. But yeah, when any types of these, you know, youth cohorts or any program like this involving our youth, it's just so important, because we talk a lot about in our Native communities how our next generations, our young ones, our youth are going to be leading us and the generations after them. Mm-hmm. So it's important that our young ones have these teachings passed down to them in a good way, and are raised to be smart and culturally confident in who they are and their identity. Mm-hmm. So it's great to see kids, you know, just being involved in programs like these and wanting to be there and doing the good work. So I really applaud Little Earth and what Eileen is doing with the youth of Little Earth.
Yeah, Eileen's a doer, and she's got great patience, that's for sure. I got to just bring around one more time before the show ends and just talk a little bit about what's going on this weekend and a possibility to run into Haley Cherry for Native Roots Radio. Ho-wa.
And Robert Pilot of Ho-Chunk Nation. Ho-wa.
Yeah. Yeah. Ho-wa. Yeah. So let everyone know if you have that in front of you. What we're doing this Monday, right?
Monday, Labor Day. Yeah. So Arvina Martin, who was on the show earlier, she put out a really great post the other day. Are you ready to continue the energy from the DNC? Well, if you are, please join us for a Native Coalition event, Coffee and Democracy, with special guest Congresswoman Charisse Davids, who is a Ho-Chunk relative of ours, this Monday, Labor Day, September 2nd, from 10 to 11 a.m. This will be at the Revolutionary Coffee Wine Eats, which is 38 Main Street, Black River Falls, Wisconsin. This is a free event, but RSVP is probably a good way to save your seat. The coffee venue is a bit small, but I heard that they do have really great coffee. Myself will be there covering this conversation for Native Roots Radio. You can come out and see Robert Pilot and see him in his other day job there, and come meet Ho-Chunk Nation Vice President Danielle DeLong and Charisse Davids.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that you can snag a good interview with our relative. Because, Haley, you know how that Ancestry.com works? Have you ever done Ancestry.com?
I haven't yet.
Okay. No. Well, Charisse is our, she's related to us like fourth or fifth cousin, because really, we all as Ho-Chunks are related.
Right.
Because they wiped us out. We only had like 700 people left from 125,000. So we've all been... we're all related somehow, you know, and it's funny. We joke about it, but there's signs showing it.
Yeah. Like you can actually trace it back, and it is kind of a running joke, but then when you look at it on paper, it's like, oh wow, you can actually follow the blood, you know, the blood stream there in the family. But yeah, you can meet us, come hang out with us, come powwow with us. It's the Ho-Chunk Nation's Labor Day powwow weekend, 3 days. So we'll be having coffee in the morning, talking democracy, and then heading over to do some powwowing.
Hey, I don't want let people to forget, come out to the State Fair West End Market. We're out here, and it's really a lot of people here right now, and we're excited to come on out. And I know I wanted to say this too, Haley. A lot of people have come out that listen to the show, and I really, really, really appreciate you saying hi. It means a lot to us here at Native Roots Radio, and buy a T-shirt. Ho-wa.
Yeah, it's always great to put those faces to the names and people who we know to come out and visit us and support Native-owned businesses and local vendors.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, well, I won't be at the fair tomorrow, but I will be possibly in Wisconsin, parked outside a fast food restaurant doing the show. But I'm always glad to be on. Haley, great work as always.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we will preview Donald Trump being in La Crosse, Wisconsin, and much more. We'll discuss it. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Every business faces challenges, but complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping shouldn't be one of them.
With USPS Ground Advantage from the United States Postal Service, you can avoid all the noise. No more unexpected surcharges, hidden fees, or complex rate structures. It's just easy, cost-effective, and dependable shipping. Tune your business's frequency to success and turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.